Flora and Grace, written by Maureen Lee, and read by Neris Hughes.
Chapter 1. The Limmat Valley, Switzerland, 1944. It was spring, late morning. Flora breathed in the sweet, sharp air, closing her eyes and smiling blissfully. This must be what the best champagne tasted like. It made her feel quite dizzy. The sun was as yellow as a lemon in the powdery blue sky, and the train that had just left the station on its way to Zurich puffed white smoke as it became smaller and smaller, adding to the fairy tale quality of the scene. She collapsed onto a wooden bench, her long legs stretched out as far as they would go, arms resting on the bench's back. Sorry to have just said goodbye to nice Mrs. Rona Charlesworth, the American-born lady from Zurich, who came regularly to see Andrew and Elsa at the school. St. Teresa's School had been established 10 years before, in memory of Mrs. Charlesworth's daughter, Antonia, who had died of consumption. It was named after St. Therese of Lisieux, a Carmelite nun who had died of the same disease at the age of 24. Flora Knox had been at St. Therese's since 1938, when she was 11. Her parents were dead, and her aunt Winifred had read an article in The Lady about the school for delicate children in Switzerland. Anxious to get rid of her niece, Flora had been dispatched there on the pretense of having a persistent cough. The cough had disappeared shortly after her arrival and never returned. She and her aunt corresponded rarely. After war broke out, Aunt Winifred hadn't bothered to arrange for Flora to return to England during the months when it was possible to travel through unoccupied France. Once Germany had invaded that country, escape was impossible. Switzerland remained neutral, but there were occupied countries on every border. Flora preferred to be left where she was. She hadn't enjoyed living with Aunt Winifred, who continued to transfer the school fees twice a year to a bank in Zurich. Flora's parents had left the money for their daughter's education, so her aunt wasn't out of pocket. Another train was approaching, travelling very slowly along the lines that shimmered in the sunlight. Flora watched with interest as it came nearer, wondering if it intended to stop. The railway employee, who had examined Mrs. Charlesworth's ticket when they'd entered the station, came onto the platform to watch. He was very young, about the same age as Flora. His uniform was much too big. Flora would have to leave soon. A small bus would arrive shortly at the station to take her up and up the winding road as far as the Hotel Aloysius, where Elsa would be waiting in the big Mercedes-Benz. The old car's engine was tied together with string, or so Elsa claimed. From there, the road turned into a bumpy earth path that led to the school. An old wooden convent, long ago abandoned, set within a small forest of tall evergreen trees. Elsa would have driven Mrs. Charlesworth all the way to the station in Zurich if Andrew hadn't woken during the night with one of his horrendous headaches, which meant he would be confined to bed for the next few days. During that time, Elsa wasn't prepared to leave the school for more than half an hour or so, not even with Flora in charge. It would have been irresponsible, she claimed. The advancing train was gliding into the station, only the wheels making any sound, a dull clickety-click, clickety-clack, repetitive and hypnotic. It was a cattle train, a long line of slatted trucks. Flora lost interest and began to study her long, thin feet. She badly needed new shoes. She looked up when she became aware that the sounds coming from the train weren't made by cattle, but were human. Oh, my God!